Radio.
It's time to get stuffed. She's the queen of mean, she can't be tamed. Larger than life with a tiny frame. Sit back, relax, and loosen up. It's Lisa Lampanelli and you're gonna get stuffed.
Lisa Lampanelli.
Hey, everybody. It's Lisa Lampanelli. I was really tempted right now to just go, hey, it's your girl, Lisa Lampanelli. What am I, hot 97? No, it's not your girl. I'm not your boo. I am a white person, unfortunately, named Lisa Lampanelli. And welcome to the second episode of my podcast, Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli, with my very special co-host and unpaid slash intern. I thought you were going to introduce yourself. At least earn your non-pay.
No, give me the name.
With my unpaid slash sidekick slash intern slash lackey, Mike Morse.
That's me, and I am your boo.
Yes, he is. He is your girl also. he's my bitch. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Yeah. I looked up on this like witchcraft like science website.
Okay.
That guess what?
What?
This week, officially end of summer. Pissing me off, because guess what that means?
What?
Nothing. No, it means back to school, back to work, back to everything for Lisa Lampanelli, because my play, as you know, starts rehearsals in September, and it's really getting me mad.
Why?
Because I didn't even have a summer, Mike.
Why?
Because I'm busy! Is summer not... Seriously, I had to practice so much acceptance this week, and you know what I hate about acceptance? I can't accept it! I am so sick and tired of people going, oh, like shrinks always go, oh, it doesn't, you don't have to like it. You have to accept it. Meaning, years ago, before I was the great beauty I am, they would say, oh, you don't have to love your weight if it's 248 pounds. Just accept it. What am I gonna, what? You gotta like something to accept it. I can't accept, oh, you're a real dick, Mike. I have to change that about you. So if I don't like things, I find acceptance very hard.
It's a defeatist attitude to say, well, I can't do anything about it. You could, especially your weight. You can do something
about
it.
Well, look at this is the problem with these AA people. Mm-hmm. It's always about accepting the things you can't change. Mm-hmm. Well, I couldn't change this, Mike, that I hate acceptance, and I had to accept that. Not only did summer not exist, it was like way more hard work than I should have to endure now that I'm going into like 14-hour days of rehearsal with my play Stuffed. Shameless plug, stuffplay.com for tickets.
Where is that going to be playing?
Well, at the West Side Theater, but all I have to do is go to the website, and if they're that stupid, I don't want them at my show! I have to accept my fans are stupid. But seriously, I was so mad because I go, okay, people are supposed to, like, did you have any inkling, did you have any summer at all, you personally? Because I know you do not work.
Work is a relative term.
That's true.
I did do a little vacation, so that was good.
See,
went to the shore,
Jersey Shore. And I bet you did that because you were like, the kids deserve a break.
Right.
But as an adult, I bet you never as a single person or what, just as a human being, if you are one, said, oh, I'm really going to just take a break for myself.
No, no. Well, especially in well, your business is a bit
better,
more business than my business. But it's
luxurious.
Yes, there's no 9 to 5. You work when you work, and you write when you write, and you perform when you perform. So it's not like you get up, put your suit on. And
right. So there's no imposed, I get my 2 weeks, my 4 weeks or whatever. So I said to myself, let me just... I'm not going to take the summer off. I'm just going to pile on some work. Why would I say that? What's mentally wrong with me that I said I'm going into this horrible 6 months of work? Why don't I not take one day off this summer? If it wasn't running to a goddamn gig, because you know me, Mike, with the comedy, it draws me in. I want to write a new special. I said, oh, what an opportune time to write the material and then try it out in the clubs. Fuck the clubs. I'm sick and tired of me trying to do too much. So I had to accept, literally when September started a couple weeks ago, I was going insane. I was like, I didn't have a summer. I totally needed to try to take 4 days off before this fucking play starts. And guess what? Boom. I get that it's white people problems, rich people problems, entitled people's problems, but millions of things kept coming up. Oh, you have to do a photo shoot. Oh, you have to do a dumb podcast recording. Sorry, no offense, feralaudio.com. Oh, you got to do this. And you know what I did, Mike? I accepted my freaking fate that I am an entertainer. The world cannot survive without me. And that I get no summer. Lisa Lampanelli is a slave to the system.
Well, on the bright side, if you really wanted, you could fly over to Fiji where it is still summer at any time.
You mean they don't have that witchcraft known as the autumnal equinox?
I don't think it affects them for some reason. There's some sort of bubble over them.
Those Fijis make the good water. The Balis, fantastic gyms. Mm-hmm. I enjoy Bali.
Poland Springs, Megan. Poland Springs.
Remember Otto and George, people you don't know. Otto and George was a ventriloquist act who was fantastic. Very God funny. Rest their soul. The dummy died and so did Otto. The freaking, he would say, you know why they call it Poland Spring? Because only a Polack would pay for water. Hey, can I have a bag of sand to go with that? Oh my God. He needs his own podcast from the grave.
Yeah.
So anyway, you want to know the day that the acceptance had to kick in? There's some things you can't change. Mike, this is very difficult problems. Mm-hmm. I have an 87-year-old mother. Mm. God bless her. I'm glad she's still around. But the bitch loves table talk pies. Do you know what a table talk pie?
I don't know what that
okay,
is.
Okay, Mike, it is literally 4 inches in diameter, and they are a dollar each from Stop and Shop. So she, as I'm on my way to her house to play cards with her out of the goodness of my heart, because I don't want her to die without leaving me anything, she's like, oh, do you mind stopping at the Stop and Shop? I know you already went for my salami and my hard cheese. These freaking Italians. Can you get me 10 table talk pies for $10? I said, yes, of course.
What? Now, like a fruit pie?
Yeah, literally. And they're so bad that they don't even have to get refrigerated. Like, they're just on a shelf forever. Like, they're not even, like, shrink-wrapped. They're literally on a shelf forever. So I figure, okay, they're made out of metal or something. Mm. This will help her stay alive because she's a battle axe. I stop and get her table talk pies. I'm very annoyed. Can't find the flavor she wants because, God forbid, a woman of her age and girth would eat a cherry pie. She wants the apple.
You gotta have the
apple. Blueberry, the lemon, and calls me back to tell me peach is fine too. Cherry's the common one. How am I supposed to find peach? All right, I find them. I scrounge together 10 of these toxic fucking pies, get to her house. I notice, now God rest her soul already. It's a little preemptive. I notice, you know, and it's sad. That's why we laugh about it. I find a dirty, you know, a load of dirty clothes in the dryer. So she clearly got the dryer and the washer mixed up. And you know how you have sort of a sadness in you that, oh my God, my parents are getting old. My mom's, you know, not what she used to be. So I'm working on that acceptance and going, I have to accept mom is putting dirty clothes in the dryer and I'm just going to wash them. Mm-hmm. And as that happens, the bitch totally beats me in 500 rummy. So I not only am running to get the table talk pies, the hard salami, the hard cheese, and everything else this bitch wants, I now lose to her at cards and have to wash her clothes too. That's so it. What do I need to accept here, Mike?
Oh, that she's playing you for a patsy. Yeah, obviously, you're the long mark. You know, she sets all that shit up. And then she's like, oh, she's feeble. And all of a sudden, bam, bam,
that's
bam.
That's what happens because I'm off my game. Mm-hmm. You see? Because while we're playing cards, I'm texting her housekeeper going, why are there dirty clothes in the dryer? And she goes, it was empty when I left. So
see,
I'm
she's
distracted.
In on it. The housekeeper's in on it.
The housekeeper. Like... Thank God we don't play for money. Because my mother, she's such a, you know, we're Italians, but she's such a Jew at heart. She won't play for money. She used to play for pennies. Mm-hmm. She's a penny slot lady, but that's too expensive. So anyway, so I accept that and I go, oh, look, I got out of my mom's without having a breakdown or yelling and I lost the cards. I accept it. Mm-hmm. I can't change it like in AA. They say you can't change it. Then I'm about to drive to New York City for rehearsal. Guess what happens to me?
What?
I'm looking. One headlight's out. Mike, what are you doing? How am I going to drive to the city? I said to myself, these cops, I'm not as famous as I used to be. They're not going to understand that I'm Lisa Lampanelli who needs to get to the city to rehearse her play, stuffplay.com. Well, I called the dealership. Thank God they had 10 minutes. They let me run in and do it. Wow. I said, look at me with the acceptance. You're going to die next. I conquer one white person problem after the next. I get to my house in Connecticut before the drive to the city. I'm all calm. I go, look at me. The bitch beat me at cards. I bought the table talk pies made out of garbage. Who's our sponsor, by the way? Wouldn't that be great if they were a sponsor?
This half hour brought to you by Table Talk Pies.
Right? I wish. Well, I get to my... Yeah, have you been to my house in Connecticut?
No, I have not.
Okay. Well, I don't mean to brag, but I don't call it a compound. I call it an estate. Mm-hmm. Of course it's not, but that's what I call it.
Close enough.
I've named my house. Now, when you name your house, it either has to be ironic or it has to be like you're hoity-toity. I'm not hoity-toity.
No, right.
I'm a little hoity, not so toity. I named my house after Tony Soprano's boat, Stugatz.
Stugatz.
Because Jimmy Big Balls used to live there with me, and he had big balls, which means Stugatz, which, boom, the house has the sign Stugatz on it. I get there. Mike, I'm not kidding you. I look out. I glance outside to the water before I leave, just for that last moment of peace. There is a boat on my deck. A boat!
A boat.
Like, okay. Literally... Uh-huh. There must have been a windstorm that blew this big, huge, inflatable 10-person boat onto my property, or the Mexicans next door doing the construction are fucking with me. What
probably
do you think?
Your mom's housekeeper called them. They're probably all in on
they're
this.
They're all in cahoots because the wall hasn't been built yet. And I think this is a lesson.
Wall around your house.
That Trump has let us down.
Oh, yes.
And we need to accept what we cannot change is that Donald Trump is president. Put a boat in my yard by not building the wall for the Mexicans. But is that bizarre, though?
It's one of those days.
And well, speaking of Mexicans, my best friend Vicky is Puerto Rican, which is the same thing. She goes, and I'm not kidding, this bitch is a gangster. She's very spiritual, but she's a gangster. She's a spiritual gangster. She said, I would have taken a knife. She's not kidding. Did you pop that fucking thing? Yeah. I said, Vicky, I'm a nice person. By the way, they know who I am. I can't do this. I start dragging this 100-pound boat. Mike.
Wow.
Obvious, I mean, terrific physical specimen. Yeah. But try dragging a freaking inflatable fucking boat. The thing pops on my fence post. So I go, that was baby Jesus's way of saying you did not have to accept a boat on your lawn or on your patio. I dragged it over, left it. I hope the fucking sea. I hope it washed it out with Elian Gonzalez and all the Cubans who are trying to come over.
It's good to see you've accepted.
I have accepted it. And with some things, you just got to let go.
Mm-hmm.
Have you in your life, other than accepting your terrible, terrible place in this business.
Still working on it.
And as my host and co-host and sometimes, I believe you're my student. Not really, but I believe it. I know you're not, but I believe it. Are the things that you have been working to accept? Because that's what this freaking thing is about. Accept the summer never happened. Accept it's over. Accept you're going into the fall and it's going to blow dogs in hell.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have things you work on like this?
Of course. With the body, of course. You want your body in the best shape as possible. But I'm no spring chicken anymore. You know,
no.
I used to run. I used to run 8 miles a day.
Yeah. Audience, if you don't know this about Mike, he was what I call an exercise orexic. He was literally running so much. I mentioned it last week. He was AIDS. So what happened with the stopping of the running? Why did you stop?
I blew out my Achilles.
See, that was baby Jesus' way of saying Achilles was a guy who blew out his ankle.
Coincidentally, it was called his Achilles heel.
That is so cool. It's like Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yeah. What are the chances?
Isn't it weird when Lou Gehrig got that disease, the disease happened to have his name?
It's crazy.
I hope I get Lisa Lampanelli cunt. Which just means it's closed for business. So seriously, though, like once you blew out this Achilles heel, is it like it's impossible to run even if it gets fixed? What happens?
I didn't go to the doctor because I'm stupid, and I just let it. And I kept trying to exercise with it, only making it worse.
Which proves you're anorexic.
I was looking rock star skinny, and I like.
Dude, you were looking like a fucking cancer AIDS patient. That's okay. I wasn't fucking you. What do I care? Nobody was.
True.
Yeah.
So I had to accept, okay, I can't do that anymore. That was my main source of being healthy. Mm-hmm. So you have to figure out something new.
So what did you do?
I just gave up.
No, no. See, that, my non-loyal listeners, is what you need to learn here. Don't give up. Because I didn't give up when I said, hey, I don't want to exercise anymore. You know, you had it forced on you by an Achilles heel mm-hmm. injury. I said, I don't want to do it no more. Mm-hmm. That's a very adult decision yeah. right there. Wah. My whole life has to be perfect and special. And every day I walk out my door and it's Sex in the City. No, it's not. Every day isn't magical, bitch. Calm down. So I think we have to say, what other areas can I tune up to make that crappy part of my life better? So when you stopped with the exercising and you were sad about this, were you sad?
Yeah, well, it's frustrating because right. it's a habit, and you do that to feel good and about yourself. So you had to have to reboot yourself.
And so what did you do differently to make up for that? Did you just did you eat better or did you try other exercising or right. did you just decide I'm letting myself go?
Well, you can't, obviously I didn't because I'm gorgeous.
That's, guys, you got to see pictures of this thing.
But no, I had to eat better. You know, mm-hmm. you couldn't indulge where you was like, I just ran 8 miles. I can have this, you know, goddamn taco. But yep, you know, so you yep. have to change that a little bit. And now I still run, but I run a couple miles.
What were you running?
I was running 8 miles a day.
That's stupid.
It was good. Well, no. There's marathon people who do 20
miles. No, but that's retarded.
Well, that's crazy.
Like, yeah. No offense to retarded people out there. You retards are smart enough not to run a marathon. That's why Special Olympics people, retarded people, special needs people are so much smarter than mm-hmm. us because they know not to do stupid mm-hmm. stuff.
Right. Well, they would not know how to get back home.
This is very racist of you to say that against retards. Retards. I did it the French way. I classed it up. No, but honestly, that's why it's so weird. Like, why would people run a marathon? I still don't get it. It's like, what are you trying to prove?
Because they shit their pants.
Yeah. Yeah. And they get blown up.
Yeah.
If they're in Boston. Well, yeah, that wasn't fun.
No.
My thing is, here's what you do. The body's not supposed to do that. Are you a caveman? Are you running from a fucking fox or a freaking bear? No. You run to keep yourself in shape. You look fine. You accept where you are. Mike, you nor I, mm-hmm. you much less than mm-hmm. I, is ever going to win a beauty contest. However, we can go, I'm going to work on it a little bit. Mm-hmm. So now, how's your eating?
I try to eat well. You know, just try to not get crazy. You know, I do like to have a beer now and again.
Yeah, but by you now and again, I'm troubled by this. I have a feeling that you do not admit how much you drink. How much do you drink?
No, I would like to drink more. But
oh, good. I'm glad you have goals. That's yes. really good to have.
But it's bad. It's high calorie. It's empty calories. I don't
it's
need
true.
Empty calories.
So you seriously do look at a drink as, you know what, this is not that great for me,
right.
but it's my indulgence for the
right.
day, slash week, slash moment.
Slash life.
Yeah. So you, by the way, did you always like booze more than like food?
No, I like them both equally.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what to you is like a good, healthy day?
Get up, have a couple beers. No. No, I never had breakfast. I never ate breakfast, which I know is bad. That's
You know, when it is terrible by scientific, who the hell goes according to that right. anyway? You and I have to make our own rules for right. ourselves because we know what we're going to stick to.
Right. And I think we're both night people
yep.
too. So it's, so morning is just like, ugh.
Right.
And I'm just not hungry. Then I get hungry later at night. So, I usually try to do the exercise in the morning, get that out of the way.
Right.
It's not something I enjoy.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, then you have, I'll eat anything I want for lunch, pretty much.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then for dinner, sometimes if I eat enough for lunch, you know, just have a little snack for dinner because I'm not that hungry.
So you know how they say, eat breakfast like a king.
Mm-hmm.
This is true. Lunch like a queen mm-hmm. and dinner like a pauper. Mm-hmm. That's like a thing they say. Lunch like a queen just sounds funny.
Yeah,
like there's a gay joke just waiting to happen.
Yeah, we'll ask Frank about that.
Yeah, yeah, we definitely will ask our gay correspondent, Frank DeCaro. But yeah, I think like that nighttime is really rough.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I had to accept too? I hate that life is about acceptance because I had to accept I love to eat at night. And mm-hmm. yes, is it out of loneliness? Is it out of habit? Like I remember my really happy memories as a kid, and I talk about this in my play, not to plug, but to honestly say it's something I really had to uncover. Why do I love nighttime eating?
Mm.
It's not that it's fun. It's because those were the happiest times when the five of us, only the five of us, would sit around and everyone would get along. You'd be watching the same TV shows, mm-hmm. whether it's listening to something on the Victrola or it's watching The Wonderful World of Disney, which is funny because one of those is actually my era. You know, you're not as old as me, but The Wonderful World of Disney was this thing.
I watched that.
Oh, my God. It was on a Sunday
Ed
night.
Ed Sullivan, and he would watch.
Yes. Oh, my God. And you watch it, and everyone was quiet and calm and got along. And we have these big bowls of popcorn. And now it's like when I go to nighttime eating, I'm like, yeah, thank God, because of the smaller stomach, because of the operation, I don't have to eat as much. Mm. But dude, I have to accept that, you know what, save 500 calories or something for the end of the day. Is it the optimum? Is it like, oh, you know, diet approved, eat, oh no, instead, you know what I'll do? I'll boil a head of cabbage and eat it. Yeah, and you'll freaking alienate everyone you're building because you fart. So the fact is, sometimes you just got to accept things about yourself that you wish you could change, but you can't. Mm-hmm. You like your beers? I like my nighttime eating, pretending I have family, even though my mother beats me at fucking cards. I think that's the point that we have made today. Now, we're going to take a little break.
Okay.
I want my audience to ponder this acceptance piece, because I know it sounds like you're punking out when you accept things, but honestly, I guess it's how you get more power. So what do we have to talk about the next segment that has to do with this situation?
Well, why don't we read some of your loyal fans' posts about acceptance?
Yeah.
And what they have problems with that.
I can't wait till those idiots weigh in, because let me tell you something about that, Mike. I got to accept that some of them are assholes. I got to accept that Lisa Lampanelli's fan base is half nice people and half cock-sucking douchebags.
I think you're being kind.
I know.
And then after that, I think we should do, there's a game I came up with, since we're talking about food and choices and acceptance.
Oh.
It's Fuck, Marry, Kill Food Edition.
Oh, my God.
So I'm going to give you choices of three foods, and you have to choose what you would fuck. Well, we'll get into it.
Oh, I hope I don't have to fuck any of those
foods. Well, not literally.
Oh, good.
We'll get into it.
Okay, we'll get it. But you know what's funny about that, Mike? I have to accept that. Now, this is what people, I'm going to tell them honest truth. Mike says to me earlier this week, "Now, why don't we do a game?" I said, "Don't even tell me what the game is. I have to accept that you're smart enough to do this job for free. I have to accept that it's going to be something I can get into. So I have really no idea what you're going to do.
Okay.
So don't make me have sex with a hot dog on air. That's all I ask."
We'll wait till we get the video going.
Okay, cool. Yeah. We'll be right back, folks, with Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli and Mike Morse.
Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. We'll be right back. Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. Welcome back.
Hey, everybody. I'm back. It's Lisa Lampanelli on my brand new podcast, episode 2 of Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli, and my co-host, Mike Morse. Say hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike. And we've been talking about acceptance and things we can't change and blah, 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 and all the other depressing things in life that we have. Now, I have to accept, as I said before the break, that my fans have big opinions, and sometimes they're nice and sometimes they're not. So, you know what? I'm not even going to look at my Facebook page. I asked last night, are there certain things you have to accept about your life, and is it powerful or powerless to do that? And of course, some of my fans, I'm sure, were like, fuck you, cunt, say the N-word. But hopefully some of them had something intelligent to say. So, Mike, I'm going to allow you to look because they can't hurt my feelings.
Right. I will look. Oh, so here's one from a fan, Tisha.
Mm-hmm.
And she says she gave up a career that I gave up a career that I had 15 years because I would have snapped. Now I am powerless because I can't find another job in a different field because my past experience is so strong, and also because I'm almost 50 and no one is looking for mature candidates without paying peanuts.
Oh, they're not. Oh, now Tisha, I don't mean to sound unsympathetic, but I am.
But you did.
Well, you know what it is, Mike? Let me see that. I want to read that over to myself because I have this to say to her. She gave up a career. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is not powerless. That's powerful. When you know something isn't right for you and you would have snapped and possibly killed someone at the office or gotten fired or really done something where you would maybe have a nervous breakdown, it's power. It's taking power back, saying, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. This is wrong. Now she's turned into a little bitch. Here's the problem. Lisa Lampanelli, as you know, has no problem giving you people advice. But it's going to be tough love because I'm smart and I'm smarter than you. And I clearly am better than you because I make more money than you. And I have a nice couple apartments and a couple of Toyota Camrys. So, and a boat on my fucking patio. But be that as it may, I think when I see something like this, I go, wow, took a great first step. The second step is now she's being a little bitch. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm powerless. Can't find another job. My past experience so strong. Tisha, listen to me. I'm not going to give your last name because you'll be embarrassed by yourself. What I have to say is, if you go into an interview, you bring that experience. Say, I know I'm trying to get into a different field. I know some people might look at my age as a hindrance. However, I think it's a strength because I got no kids pulling me down for other distractions. Mm-hmm. I can devote 100% of my time to you people because my mother's probably dead because she would have killed herself because I'm so negative. My mother's not having me run around getting table talk pies and beating her a gin rummy. And people do look for mature candidates. Dude, Mike, how old are you?
I'm 56 years young.
You are mature. Mm-hmm. I hired this guy not just because he has a low pay grade, but also because he's mature, because he shows up on time. There's ways to work in your maturity and your age into a positive. So, Tisha, look at me. I feel you're not looking at me yet. I say this, get yourself out of that negative, powerless mindset. It's power in walking away. Now it's power in walking toward. That sounds like something I should embroider on a whoopee cushion.
Indeed.
And I feel as if this person needs to get that negative stuff out of her head. I don't like it, Mike.
And maybe she can do something she always wanted to do. This is the time to do it.
You know, it is.
She's no spring chicken. She's only got a few years left.
Listen, Tisha, you're close to death. Mm-hmm. Please just go in there. And Mike, what's the worst thing? Seriously, if you walk into a job interview and you say, look, I know I'm not a young person, but how much experience I'm bringing. Did you not see that movie, The Intern? The Intern was a terrible movie. However, Robert De Niro was a valued member of the team mm-hmm. and probably made Anne Hathaway cry even more than she did in Devil Wears Prada. So, to Tisha, who I won't give their last name, get the negative mindset out. The minute you get the negative mindset out and start moving forward, you will see progress. I'm not kidding, Mike. It worked for me. Who thought I'd write my first play at age 56?
Not me. It happened.
Mm-hmm. Nobody had any belief in me. Not even you. You're fired. Now, see, that's a good question, though, from a fan.
Yes, that was good.
Please skip all the negative ones. It makes me very sad.
Here's one from Eric. Yes, he has a struggle with weight. He says, I've been fluffy since elementary school.
Yeah. Let me just say something. What's the first name of this fat bastard?
Eric.
Embrace the word fat. As I've said many times, and you could quote me on this and have and will, I will say it every podcast, furniture is heavy. You are fat.
That's another embroidered.
Don't say, what's that?
It's another embroidered
I'm
pillow.
I'm fantastic with the slogans. Listen to me. Don't say fluffy. This is your way of not owning it. You have to own it and say, you know what? I'm fucking fat. And you know what? I'm sad about it. Because it is sad. It is sad that there's a struggle. It's hard to be fat. All right, Mike, I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
All right. Eric continues, school would send home letters to my mom about my obesity. No matter how hard I tried to lose the weight, I was always powerless in the end. Now that I'm going to be 27 in 3 months, I need to find power and stop with excuses. I can't let it control my life anymore! Exclamation point.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, see now that I have hope for. Mm-hmm. Tisha, I think that's him saying, I'm powerless over food, which is fine. He's powerless over liking it. He's not powerless over the action he can take to conquer it. Mm-hmm. Mike, I was powerless over the food always having an allure, having a pull. But I was powerful enough to say, I've tried every diet and exercise my whole life. Doesn't work. Cut your stomach out and then work on yourself emotionally. So he's ready. I have much hope for this guy. Go to his profile. Is he a fat bastard? Can you see him?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
He's a big man.
Listen, Eric, is it?
Mm-hmm.
You're not fluffy. You're fat. You love food. There's a way to love food in moderation. I'm sad that you had those notes sent for you. I hope they weren't too hilarious, but if they were, please send them to me so that I can use them on stage and shame you openly, because nothing helps you change like shame.
And Eric, good news for having such a great post. Lisa is going to send you 24 table talk pies.
Oh my God. You are so lucky right now. Please let me know if you like the peach, the apple. If they're not a sponsor by the end of this episode, they can go fuck themselves. But seriously, do you see why I think there's hope for him?
Yeah, he seems like he's ready.
Because he's like,
no more excuses. Right.
And that's what happened with my Fat Bastard opening act, former Fat Bastard opening act, Frank DeCaro, who will call in for his weekly weigh-in next segment. Because when you're ready, you're ready. And if this kid gets it under control at 27, imagine. I mean, he'll get all the guys he wants. I'm assuming he's a gay.
Wow. I guess at that weight, you take what you can get.
Yeah, you sure do, if you can find it. Okay, anybody else who was halfway intelligent?
That's true. Well, I can't promise anything. Let's try one more. Here's from Melissa. She says, money. My son needs a proper education, and I just can't afford it. Public schools aren't challenging him, and he gets frustrated. He wants to learn more, and I just can't afford private school. I wish I could homeschool him, but I can't afford to stay home.
Oy vey.
I know, she's got problems.
Why'd she have not an abortion?
I want to provide a better life for him, but I can't. All I want is to make him happy. He wants to learn. He loves school but gets bored. It pains me to see his mind basically going to waste because I can't afford a better education. He's only in fifth grade too.
Oh, please. Yeah,
and he reads at a ninth grade level.
Bragger.
Which means he could be president. And math is eighth grade level. I just want what's best for my son.
Listen, Melissa. I'm always hesitant to give parents advice because once you have kids, you feel that once they flew out of your overstretched twat, that you gained all the knowledge of the universe, and anyone who hasn't had kids hasn't walked the walk, so they have no reason to comment. Mike, I think all these parents do is they want these kids to be what they wanted in their previous life. So she wants for him the best, but it's also her kind of going, well, I never had my own room. I want my son to have his own room. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Hey, there's plenty of kids who are gifted who didn't have private education. There's plenty of kids who homeschooled and mom cut down to maybe a part-time job at night and in the morning. I think there's a way around it. She's a little whiny for my taste.
She, you know, give the kids a bunch of books.
Well, that's what I was thinking. As a parent, don't you feel, the minute you said he reads at a such grade level, I thought, well, then give him Moby Dick. Give him other smart books that I can't mention because I'm not as smart as her kid. I hesitate to give her advice because her kid's smarter than I am.
Right.
I don't read at a ninth
grade. Maybe he should be doing this podcast.
Maybe he should be, like you said, president and my sidekick.
Wait, what?
No, but it's hard to give parents advice. But as a parent yourself, do you think the gut reaction I'm having is like, yeah, have him go to school, read on the side, have him like work on the computer. Like, you can do stuff now.
Right. And if he is that advanced, I'm sure if she talked to the school, they would give him harder things and more challenging things.
She sounds, though, like the excuse maker. Yeah. Like, if she was in my office and I was a real shrink, which I would love because I love telling people what to do, she probably would annoy me and she'd never take my advice. And I'd be like, just fucking do it. And she'd be like, but I... There'd be a but. She's a no but. There's yes ands and no buts. Now, I'm a no but. Like when people say, we want to go to, name a fun place.
We want to go to the Jersey Shore.
Ugh, no. But instead, I'll stay home. You know, there's people who are yes and yes, and I'll take a picnic with me. That's not me.
No.
She's a no but. Now, I'm a no but, but it led to a great career because my negativity paid off as a performer and as a general all-around negative personality on stage. She's a no but in life. And she, but my kid. You know what? First of all, the kid ain't a genius. He's reading at a ninth grade level. Don't get fucking hoity-toity. He ain't Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, ain't no Goodwill Hunting.
Yeah. Yeah, Goodwill Cunting is more like it. So what I think is she basically has to go outside the box, think outside the box, and don't... And do you view this email as disguised bragging as I do?
A little bit. And the kid seems wonderful. I want to meet him.
Yeah, so that means he's probably terrible. He's probably awful. Right. And, you know, abortion, they say it's not good, but... Sometimes. Sometimes it just is.
Well, I think at this point it's a little late for her.
Oh, a little. You know, I see a lot of this SVU with Mariska Hargitay where children are killed.
Right.
Now, I don't
They never get away with it, though. She always catches them.
Ah, it's Mariska, though. Yeah. New York City cops aren't as dedicated as Mariska is. So here's what I suggest. Buy your kids books or kill them. I think that's a great piece of advice.
Right, right. It's reasonable.
I want a lawsuit of somebody who kills their kid and then sues me because I told them to. Do that.
There's no such thing as bad publicity.
There isn't. And you know what? If you have a comment, go to, where should they go to post their negative, evil comments?
On your website.
Oh, yeah. Don't go to Mike's because he's like real nice and he'll give you good advice. Facebook.com/Lisa Lampanelli, whatever. But you know what? I think I'm right on this. Get off your ass. Think outside the box. And yes, I don't know your struggle because I don't have kids, but I do have a dog and I know he's like way smarter than your fucking kid.
Yeah.
Okay, what's next? Hey, I gotta say though, my fans didn't disappoint me.
Yep, great posts.
Yeah, like they actually weren't dicks. Mm-hmm. So, all right, now we can move on. I can get a reward. I can do something I want. What is it, Mike?
Well, this is a game I like to call Fuck, Marry, Kill Food Edition.
Oh, it's a food one. Yes. It's not a person one.
No.
Okay.
So now fuck means you can eat this whatever or on special occasions. It's like a rare treat.
Oh, yes.
A culinary booty call.
Okay.
Marry is you have to eat it every day for the rest of your life. You're committed to that food.
Okay.
Kill is you can never eat it again.
Oh, my God. Okay.
All right.
It's like weird because food is such a big deal for me right now that honestly, I just got like a weird tingle in my head. Like, oh my God, I can't swear off any food ever. But okay.
Right. We'll start off easy.
Okay.
All right. Ice cream, cake, pie.
Okay. Pie I hate.
All right. So kill for the pie.
I guess we don't have a sponsor anymore. Right. I literally, Mike, want to know something weird about me? Mm-hmm. As a food addict, believe it or not, for a person who's had such weight issues, there's certain foods I've never even had a bite of. I've never had a pie. Hmm. I've never had cream cheese. I've never had marmalade or jelly or jam. I've never had maple syrup. I've never had any of these things because it's almost like if they were invented after the Victrola or the record player, I didn't try them.
All right. Here's another thing we're going to do on one of these.
Okay.
We're going to get all of those and you have to take a taste.
Oh my God, skeeve! I skeeve those.
What?
I literally skeeve the idea of eating a bite of pie. I think it's a texture thing. I'll do it.
I think that would
if
be
it's
amazing.
Table Talk Peach. Good luck finding it, because I couldn't.
I'm going to find it.
Okay, so I kill pie. Okay. Pie can go fuck its mother. Now, ice cream or cake?
Ice cream.
Dude, Mary, that's have it every day.
Every day.
Oh, cake. Dude, there's something about cake. And I would definitely fuck ice cream, like literally probably. Okay. But the cake thing, can I tell you, there's something about, remember when, okay, now donuts are all the rage, but like as donuts are the new cupcakes. Right. But remember when cupcakes were huge, yes. Magnolia, all those bakeries. Are you a cupcake top or a bottom?
I like the top. I like the icing.
I do not understand these bitches who will take that bottom. That bottom is a waste. And I know that's what the guy in Chelsea said, but I don't know, not go for the bottom. So, you give me, we actually did a photo shoot for the play. I had to be taking a huge bite of a cupcake and I'm really focused now on not eating sugar, but I had to have my teeth embedded in this thing. And it literally was 5 minutes of me just in a cupcake. Dude, the best day of my life. That's I only funny. Swallowed once. That's what she said. Okay, good one. I like this.
All right. Popcorn, potato chips, pretzels.
Oh. Well, popcorn's my go-to thing. So Mary, for sure. That's my jam because that's my emotional food, my emotional tie. Potato chips. Meh. Oh. No, because I just thought of an emotional pull of potato chips too.
Because like it was like,
because it's kind of like a thing from the past too. Like where you'd come home from school and you just grab that bag of chips, and mom wasn't looking because she was drunk. Oh no, that wasn't her. That was your mom. And that okay, I got it.
Okay,
I can't kill the pretzels, and I'll tell you why.
Hmm.
Because when I was a kid, and I still do this, I would take ice cream and crumble up a bunch of pretzels in it because it's delicious. Yeah. Have you had that? Mm-hmm. Of course, it's great. Now you do it with peanut butter. Mm-hmm. And don't you love these women, too, who's like, I got some gluten-free pretzels and put them in almond butter. First of all, there's no butter other than real butter and fucking peanut butter.
That's it.
Stop with nut butters. It's gay as fuck. Stop it. Nobody likes you. So, yes, I would have to say, I would have to sadly bid adieu to the chips.
Wow.
And I'm going to...
You're
effing the pretzels.
Okay.
I got to.
All right. Well, here gets a little stranger here. Asparagus, broccoli, and cauliflower.
Okay. Let me tell you something. I'm not a fan of a lot of green things. Mm-hmm. I enjoy an asparagus only because, I don't know why, it's expensive, so you're deluded into thinking it's better than the others. Mm-hmm. My mother would always say, did you know asparagus was on sale for $3.79 a pound? I mean, that's expensive, hey, at Whole Foods, it's $400 a pound, so I said, hey, go to Stop and Shop, not a sponsor. So I would say that's guaranteed Mary.
That's Mary, all right.
And it's hard to fuck a cauliflower, not just because of the shape, mm-hmm. but I'll tell you why. You want to know why I'd keep it? And this is a super gay, healthy reason. Do you know if you put, this is why people learn from me. If you put cauliflower in a smoothie, mm-hmm. you can't even taste it, but you get all the benefits. Mm-hmm. So if you put broccoli in the smoothie, it
tastes
blows.
Like broccoli. Yeah.
So kill broccoli.
So you're killing the broccoli.
Cauliflower, I'm on it. Yeah.
All right.
That's good.
Let's go with cheese. Bread.
Oh!
And hors d'oeuvres.
See, by hors d'oeuvres, you mean the French classy kind, because I hate those.
Yeah, no.
I'll tell you what I make at my house. I make me a pig in a blanket.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how I make it? I take a hot dog, I take a French bread, and I stick it right in there and shove it in the oven. Now, this is basically a hot dog sandwich. So it's terrible. Mm-hmm. It's got a lot of blanket and not a lot of pig.
Right.
But I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So those I love. But, a bloated potato skin.
Mm-hmm.
Blooming onion.
Yeah.
I like everything that could kill you after one bite.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm going to have to go with, hors d'oeuvres are like literally marry them. Okay. Just every day I need a pig in a blanket. Bread, I'm totally into.
Okay, so you
and
fucked
you know bit. What? I'll tell you why. I love cheese, especially on pizza and on the shaky kind in the Italian restaurant. Makes you stopped up. You can't shit.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? I cut out this part of my life. I can take a dump.
Okay.
So sometimes, Mike, sometimes you have to take a dump.
Sometimes. That's it, man. Boy.
God, this is good. Yeah. See, I knew I shouldn't have read this in advance.
Yes,
I'm happy. I like to think on my feet.
All right. Liver.
Don't say that while I'm drinking. Okay, liver.
Cow tongue. And Rocky Mountain oysters.
Okay, listen to me. I'm not going to make a joke with you. Okay, liver has a weird place in my history.
Okay.
My mother used to make us liver. Now, I don't know why they used to force liver on kids, because you get iron from other things, but I think they felt they had to give it to you. It was medicinal. My mother would lie to us and say it was quote unquote minute steaks, and we would drown it in mashed potatoes because it was so disgusting. But I've gotten through it and lived. And cow tongue, I've cooked it, and you will not even believe why, because when I was starting comedy in New York, I used to live on this estate where I would cook for the people and keep house, and they had me cook their venison and their weird German food. So they had me cook tongue. It's pretty gross. But once you cut it up, it doesn't look like a tongue anymore. Mm. The Rocky Mountain oyster thing, I have a feeling that's not really an oyster, is it?
No, it's a bull balls.
No, that's out. That's killed instantly just because balls on men are gross enough that like a dog's balls or whatever you just said it is. What is it?
Bulls.
Bull?
Bulls.
Yeah, no. I don't even like cow that much. So, no, that's gone. But I have to have one of these every day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Like, I'm so skeeved right now. I bet I could. You know what? I can't believe I'm saying this, but the tongue is not as gross as the liver. I'm going with the tongue. Do you agree?
I agree with that. Oh, liver is the worst thing
the
ever.
The worst thing. Yes. Oh, my God. And this is why my mother hates me. All these things. This show should just be called Lisa Lampanelli's Mother, because yeah. This is all it's going to be about, because everything I have wrong with me is because of her.
We are running short on time.
Oh, shoot. Okay. I'm sorry. No, okay. Listen, when we come back, we're going to take a break and we're going to have our weekly call in from my opening act and former Daily Show personality, Frank DeCaro, who is going to do his weekly weigh-in, because I vowed last week to hold Frank's feet to the fire now that he lost over 100 pounds. Because of me and my tough love intervention, I'm keeping him within 2 pounds of that weight loss or he's fucking dead to me. Mike's, of course, hoping Frank gains the weight back so that Mike can take over Frank's opening.
Tabletop.
As we speak. So we're going to call Frank, check in. In the meantime, if you want to get some tickets for my play, which is starting October 5th, go to stuffplay.com and we'll be right back.
Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. We'll be right back. Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. Welcome back.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. I'm here with my co-host, Mike Morse.
Hello, it's me.
Yes. And this has been like a good podcast.
This was fun.
I honestly was like, okay, I want to talk about acceptance, but not in a airy-fairy faggoty AA way. Mm-hmm. And I think we achieved that.
Indeed.
But since there wasn't enough faggoty content, I think the way to make it a little gayer is to have our weekly weigh-in with Frank DeCaro.
Ladies and gentlemen in the red corner, standing at 5 foot, who cares, weighing God knows how much, it's the weigh-in with Frank DeCaro.
Ta-da!
Yeah.
I'm here. Was that gay enough?
I think it is for us, definitely, because we're super butch, me and Mike.
Yeah.
Now, well, Frank,
I would have gone higher, but I'm still recuperating, so I have to.
Oh God, here we go. It's always something with these comics and their complaints. Now, listen, Frank. As our audience well knows, and as everyone who follows you on Instagram and Twitter at Frank DeCaro Show. I tell you something, everyone knows you lost quite a bit of weight. Now, last week's weight, I will never forget, because I was very impressed. You were down to a mere svelte 209, and you pretended to have your clothes on at the time, I think. Or was that the weight that you actually were last week?
No, that was my real weight. But
what?
This one, today's weigh-in has a little bit of a caveat, okay? I just had gallbladder surgery.
So
the reason I had gallbladder surgery is because a year and a half ago, when Lisa actually had the intervention with me and said, you have to lose weight or you have to go to my doctor, Dr. Apu, and get your stomach cut out, I knew that I didn't want to do that. But because it's Lisa Lampanelli, she's going to get to that doctor one way or another. So somehow there was a pentagram in her kitchen and she made a magic spell and my gallbladder acted up enough that I had to have it removed. So who did I go to? Dr. Apu.
Yes. I remember Mike, this is how forceful I am with this, Frank. We're driving. I forget from where to where. I think it was like some horrible thing like Birmingham, Alabama to Charlotte, Virginia or something. Charlotte, North Carolina. It wasn't Charlottesville, Virginia, yeah. Thank God. And we're driving and he's like, oh, my gallbladder hurts. Oh, and wah. And guess what I did? I got on that fucking phone. I texted my doctor because I'm such a big celebrity. I have a cell number. And I go, can you see my faggot opening act and talk to him about his goddamn complaining gallbladder? And boom, it actually worked out. He took out your gallbladder.
He did be, but I should have known a year and a half ago you would get me to go under the knife with Dr. Apu one way or the other because you're Lisa Lampanelli. But it worked out. But this is how I knew it was going to be good. So the first thing they do is they weigh you when you get there. Now, I had not, you can't eat from midnight the night before, and my surgery wasn't until the afternoon.
Oh.
So I had not eaten for a very long time. So which for me would more than an hour would be a lot. So anyway, I get on the scale in my little hospital robe and nothing else.
Ew.
And it comes up. No, it was cute. I had front and back, so nothing was hanging out.
Thank God.
So I was two robes. Even with two robes, after fasting I was 206 pounds.
Shut up.
Yes. So I knew that even if I died on the operating table, I at least made it to 206 pounds. So I was 111 pounds from my tippy top weight. So I almost didn't care if I lived.
Wait a minute.
That's how good it was.
Wait, yeah. So you have lost in total, if we count that 3 pounds, which I'm hesitant to count because it was fasting, and usually between midnight and 10 a.m., you eat 4,000 calories.
It's 2,500.
Now, would you really like to put that in 206 as your weight this week? Because I got to tell you, it'll be very tough to keep to that next week.
I think it may go up, but I want to, it's my final answer. Yes, I do want to stick with it, but I do expect to have gained a little bit of weight because it really was a fasting weight. And my gallbladder, as it turns out, Dr. Apu, whom I adore now, thank you for hooking me up with him, Lisa.
You're very welcome.
Dr. Apu said my gallbladder was one of the 10 biggest he'd ever seen in his entire life.
Oh my God. And that's never been said about your penis, which is great.
No, I wish he had said it about a different organ. I do, but in fact not. Wow. But I'll take it. He was, yeah. So apparently, if we had waited any longer, all hell could have broken loose. And if your gallbladder decides it wants out in an emergency fashion rather than an elective scheduled surgery, you can end up very sick for a very long time. So knock wood, that did not happen. And so and it wasn't scary. I have to tell you, for people who are worried about it, because I have a friend of mine who lives across the street said, oh, I'm so scared. And I said, don't be. It's great. So you can't, and because she doesn't have Lisa Lampanelli talking.
Well, listen, Frank. Frank, you know, this woman is a little bitch, and I'll tell you why. Because I can't be in everybody's ear. Oh, wait, I have a podcast, so I can. If you're listening, Frank's pussy ass neighbor, it's a 45-minute operation. They're taking out an organ you haven't used ever in your life, much like Frank's penis. Stop. Go to that hospital, get it done, because it is, if your gallbladder explodes, I've heard of people nearly dying from that.
Yeah, you get blood poisoning. It's terrible. Sepsis, they call it in medical jargon.
Stop being classy. Now, Frank, since your weight is now 206,
yes.
I will say this to you. When they weighed you after, did your gallbladder amount to a weight loss? Like just by taking out this organ, did you lose more weight?
Okay, you would hope that it would weigh a lot, because I had more than 100 gallstones.
Wow.
Yes, but sadly, you can't make a tennis bracelet from. They're like the size of a pinhead, you know? So they're really little, which is a drag, because I thought jewelry, you know, Christmas is coming. So I thought I would have a little, string them together and be cute. Thank you. Some gold leaf from the Michaels were fine. You know, are they sponsoring your show? We need a craft store to sponsor your show. So anyway, but I thought, I could get a little stocking stuffer out of it. But as it turns out, it only weighs a matter of ounces. So there was not. But I did immediately, once I was finally back on my feet, I bought a fitted dress shirt. So I was excited.
Oh, I thought he was, I swear to God, Mike, I thought he was going to say fitted dress. Because I know you're not.
That was not the kind of surgery. I did not have, you know why I didn't have gender reassignment surgery? We couldn't figure out which direction to go in.
That's true. It is a toss-up with you. Now, Frank. Now that you are at your low weight of 206, yeah. I'm very proud of you. Now, people think, hey, that's still fucking fat. Well, you know what? It's not fat from what he used to be. He used to be misshapen and large, and his tits would hang. But now he looks fantastic. Go on Frank's Facebook page. Go to his Instagram. What is it? Frank DeCaro Show. You look like a different person. But I mean to keep you at this weight. I, again, will not tolerate more than a 2 pound weight gain, maybe 3, but I've thought of some interesting punishments for you in case you gain weight. Would you like to help me weigh in on these? All right.
I hate that phraseology, but yes, sure.
Great. Yeah. Now, Mike, what do you think? I think we need drops from Frank next week.
Mm-hmm.
If he calls in and there's a gain, he must record drops that say, I love pussy, several times. He has to say, can't get enough of that sweet vag, and he's going to have to talk about some hot poontang on the air. Frank, those are your punishments if you freaking gain more than 2 pounds. Or, How about this? I call your fucking fag husband, Jim, and he could tell us some dark, revealing, crazy secret about you. Do you have any secrets that I don't know about? I'll be resentful.
No, I think there's nothing left. The cupboard, she's bare. No, I think. Now, can I gay? If I have to say, can I do it in a gay? Can I sing it like, I love pussy every moment?
Oh, my God. I think we just.
No, I can't.
Frank, I think we just got the drops we need. That's fantastic.
Okay.
I know a real punishment for you. We could get you one of those Trump Make America Great caps, and you could like be photographed with a thumbs up with that. What do you think?
That'll keep me on a diet. I'll tell you, that'll do it. That'd be the one.
I knew we could get you somehow. Now listen to me, Frank. We're gonna be checking in with you again next week.
Okay.
Here's what I expect. I expect you to stay at between 206 and 208. I will not tolerate any more. Because this is your health. And pretty soon it's going to be about your beauty. Because once you have your health back, beauty is all that matters. So,
it's true. And I said yesterday, because I finally was able to get out after a few days of resting. And I forced myself to go to the mall. And I was looking at stuff. And I looked at my husband. And I said, Jim, I said, when I was eating everything in sight, I think I forgot how much I really like to buy clothes. I really, especially if it's a bargain. I love to buy new clothes. And so I'm kind of back. Fashion
That's
Frank
good.
Is back.
Well,
yeah,
and next week, if you do gain, you can go shopping again, but you have to buy a fitted dress. Okay.
So can I have pockets so I can like keep a Snickers in there or something?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, no, that's the old me.
Absolutely.
That's old me. Never mind. I take that back.
All right. Well, listen, we'll talk to you next week. I love you. And I'm very proud of you. And keep those hospital gowns for the Frank DeCaro Memorial costume exhibit that there will one day be in Las Vegas next to Bette Midler's. How that sound?
Thank you. One with the opening in the back, one with the opening in the front. It looks beautiful every direction. It's beautiful.
Yes, girl. I'll talk to you. I love you, man. Congratulations.
See you on Frank DeCaro Show at all social media. Bye.
Yay, bye. Hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm actually shocked that a gallbladder with 100 stones weighs ounces.
Well, they're teeny. They're teeny tiny, unfortunately.
I don't care. That's like a huge jip. Because when I got mine out, it's true. It doesn't really. I mean, I was told I had a pretty. But you know what? Maybe that doctor's the type. He tells everybody, oh, yours was one of the worst. Because that same doctor told me. He sent a picture to me of mine, and it was horrifying.
Really?
And I think mine was worse than Frank's. I mean, I am the headliner.
Well, if he has a picture of his, we can compare them.
That's true. Mm. You know what? I really hate when he wins over me. You know what the one good thing is? He'll never get to my weight now.
Right.
Because, you know, now technically he lost more than me because it's like 113. But I didn't have to lose more than 107 because I wasn't obese and disgusting and a guy.
Right.
You know, so he can lose all the weight he wants. I'm almost hoping he gains some weight back so I feel better about myself. I accept that about myself, Mike.
Well, I hope he gains weight so we can make him do some of these punishments.
Dude, it really hit home, that Trump hat thing.
Yeah. That would be the first one.
Do you think there's any gays who like Trump?
No.
Okay, like probably none.
Very few.
What do you think? But doesn't, I know Caitlyn Jenner's not a gay. I get it, people. Don't write in and saying she's trans. I get that she's, you know, got tits and no cock or whatever. I don't care. Do you think she likes Trump, though?
She is. And I remember watching the Kardashian thing a couple times and just seeing him on there. And he's not a smart person.
Okay. Yeah, I think we've assigned Caitlyn Jenner intelligence because he made
it was a brave choice. But
right.
That has nothing to do with whether you know anything.
That's true. Just because people, I think we've learned a lot.
Yeah.
Mike, in this show, this podcast, episode 2. What have we learned? We've learned just because you had your cock cut off, you're not that smart.
No.
Don't get a big head.
Maybe he thought he was going in for tonsils or something.
It's true.
Yeah.
True. An appendectomy gone
He's like,
really
what is
wrong.
Doing here? Yeah.
I know. That happens. That's why they mark your tit. That's the worst when like you go to the hospital and they cut off your wrong tit.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's a bad thing. Yeah. Well, we won't talk about that next week.
Well, not tits, but that almost happened to me with a tooth. I was at the dentist and he starts working on a tooth. He'd said it was really bad and I went in the next week and he starts working. I go, I think it was the other side.
Holy crap.
No. And he keeps, and I'm like, and I go, excuse me. I need you to look at them. And he looked. He goes, oh, you're right.
Oh, my God. Do you still go to that dentist?
I do.
See, this is why you have a terrible life and you'll never advance.
He's in network. What am I going to do?
It's true. I think you've accepted this lot in life that you need to take what's thrown to you. Mm-hmm. You need to take what you're given. And so do the rest of my fans. Yes. You are given a once a week treat, delight of 1 hour with Lisa Lampanelli mm-hmm. and supposedly Mike Morse.
We've learned so much about you today. We've learned about the foodstuffs that you enjoy or hate.
Oh, I know. Oh, my God.
And
one of these
and
days.
And that you've never tried staples of human consumption.
Well, look, when you like that much food and you gain that much weight with just the food you like, why are you going to try more food?
You would think it was you can't get enough.
Never had tiramisu.
Tiramisu is
never,
delicious.
Never had cheesecake.
Cheesecake is delicious.
Never had anything, any dessert. If you name any dessert in the world, if it's not chocolate, I have never tried it.
Wow.
I have never tried lemon meringue, nothing. You know what I'll eat, though?
How about ambrosia? Have you had ambrosia?
It sounds disgusting. Isn't that the jello with the marshmallows
in
Italian.
It? Italian, yeah.
That's it's terrible. Oh, no, wait. Italian desserts suck. We were going to talk about that at some point. Because Italian food, they nail it. Mm-hmm. Italian desserts suck a big one, man. There's not one good Italian dessert. I always leave and then go to like someplace else, like a Shake Shack or something. And then, you know, just come home and throw up.
I agree.
So that's what we learned. Bulimia, it really works. But that's probably not the takeaway we want. But I think we have learned a lot today,
yes,
Mike.
This has been a very informative podcast.
And you know what, people, if you see and you can read and hear through the jokes, I've given you some very valuable pearls. I've given you pearls of wisdom and delight. And honestly, do what I do. Change the things you could change. Accept the things you can't change. And then don't accept that acceptance works. Because why not? It's just giving up.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a slogan to live by. Fuck you,
AA. You have so many goddamn pillows.
I can't help myself. Frank's gay. He'll embroider all of them. Now listen, folks. Tune in next week for episode 3 of the greatest podcast on earth. And then listen to us. Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli and Mike Morse. Great having you, Mike.
Thanks
for hanging out. And
Mike Morse says on Twitter.
Ah, yes. Mike, please say that again.
Mike Morse says on Twitter and in Facebook, too.
There you go. And if you'd like tickets for my play, Stuffed, go to stuffedplay.com. The play opens in New York City on October 5th. It's selling quick, so get them now, and I'll see you then. See you next week, folks. Bye.
Did you get stuffed? She's the queen of mean, she can't be tamed. Larger than life with a tiny frame. She's raw as hell, she's hot, she's rough. She's Lisa Lampanelli and you just got stuffed.
Did you get enough? Did you get stuffed?
Bye-bye.
Never had cheesecake.
Nothing.
That surprises me.
Feral Audio.